This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
I'm Raj V. Subramanian.
The winners of the 2020 Pulitzer Prizes were announced last week. So let's talk about some of the best journalism being produced today. I especially enjoyed hearing about the Palestine Herald Press in East Texas, which won the prize in editorial writing. NPR reported the paper did a series of stories called Death Without Conviction that shed light on flaws in Texas's system of review for deaths in county jails. And, of course, county jails, that's where inmates have not been convicted of a crime. As you might guess, the paper had to battle with local authorities who did not want to give any information. In fact, a local sheriff told editor Jeffrey Garrett that a death in the jail was not news. And another prize I enjoyed hearing about was This American Life, a program we carry here on Tri-States Public Radio, winning the first ever Pulitzer Prize for audio reporting. This American Life was honored for The Out Crowd, a look at the personal impact of the Trump administration's Remain in Mexico policy. So those are a couple that really stood out for me. I don't know if the two of you had a chance to review any of the winners.
Well, from what I looked, I think the real allure of the Pulitzer Prize has always been its ability to not just seek out excellent journalism and of course hit the usual often winners such as the your New York Times, Washington Post, L.A. Times, Chicago Tribune, etc. But it also seeks out, and it's very thorough, I think, and comprehensive in giving lots of newspapers or media organizations some equal weight. ProPublica has emerged as a legitimate, strong journalism entity. Back when the Hurricane Katrina occurred, I only knew this because I had some co-workers go down there and help our sister paper in our region in Biloxi, help them out with the reporting. And if I recall correctly, the coverage of Hurricane Katrina by a very small, I believe it was just maybe a daily or a weekly, was recognized for their work. And so what I always enjoy and appreciate, and I did go over the list, Rich, I didn't see anything that necessarily stood out, but I do remember the one that you mentioned of the smaller papers and the smaller organizations and where they can stand out as well, because good journalism is consistently, I think, recognized.
Small paper in Iowa a few years ago, I believe in Storm Lake, won a Pulitzer Prize. So what you're saying, example of, small papers get recognized too.
Right. And, it doesn't matter what kind of package or what organization or how big or small the newsroom is. That's what I think is the most impressive about the Pulitzer Committee and the prizes that Joseph Pulitzer put into motion here. That's been I think the better part of a century has been with us.
Yeah, I think you're right, Will. It's almost more than almost 100 years that this award's been given out for journalists, and they give out about like 21 categories awards. And I didn't have the chance to look at all the things, but I'm very fascinated in terms of investigative reporting because it takes a lot of time, sometimes months, even years. And again, this year, I think I managed to, I read about the New York Times reporting on the cartel among the New York City's taxi industry, just a small piece of metal tag that the taxi drivers carry that has so much of weightage. And we think like, America's a great country where everything is running smooth. But this investigative reporting, I don't remember the name of the New York Times reporter. I think it's Brian or something, where he talks about the New York taxi industry's, corruption and mafia cartel among that. And also another news from Wall Street Journal, where they were talking about Amazon's third-party seller system, always completely, there's so much of loopholes in that. And again, another interesting news article, I think it's basically about the health care industry, how there are a lot of predatory bill-collecting agents that are there within the system. I think it was somewhere in Virginia or something like that. I'm not sure. But anyway, the point that I'm trying to tell you is investigative journalism takes a lot of time and effort. But unfortunately, we are living in an economy where journalists are expected to file news every day. because people are looking more at the monetary benefits rather than the overall impact of the news value itself. So that's really unfortunate, because we are, you know, the corporations are taking over all the mainstream, you know, media outlets, and they're only looking at churning out news so that it's clickable and not the quality of the content that matters. So again, I mean, these are like, I mean, really long reads. And I mean, most of the average news readers may not be having the time enough to look into it. But these are like important issues that confronts our society. And again, all this kind of initiatives to, you know, recognize the effort put in by the journalists will go a long way. And again, we can talk about all the things for hours, but I think one of the things that was striking out was the investigative reporting category, which I thought was pretty cool.
It's sometimes I think in this industry we spend a little too much time handing out awards, maybe patting ourselves on the back a little too much. It kind of reminds me of the American version of The Office with the Dundies that they hand out.
Right.
But you know what? It is nice to, especially the past couple months, the news has been so grim. For the past couple of months, it's nice to hear about what journalists are doing correct. And as you pointed out, Rajvi, we have these corporations taking over so many media outlets, and they're not really interested in good journalism. They're interested in clickability and making profits. So it's really encouraging to see that good journalism, outstanding journalism, really is still being done. Whether it's on a national level or a local level, and that reporters are being recognized for that.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, Rajvi, especially about the corporatization of the news. And again, getting back to something we've talked about before is how this public asset has been turned into a commodity. And I know in my last waning days as a full-time reporter, there was an aggressive move to get things online. With good intentions, but I think we can cloud that or blur that line to where it's something that needs to be of service or something to, you know, prop up business. And we hear the terms such as clickbait and things of that nature that come into the lexicon and really promote this more and push this more as a business than the service that it is and meant to be. I know when you talked about, Rajvi, about the depth and the time commitment to investigative reporting of which these Pulitzers are awarded. You know, these are stories that I wasn't necessarily an investigative reporter myself, though I did occasional investigations. And that would take, out of doing my daily job and trying to produce daily stories, sometimes you had a story, some days you didn't. Some days you had two stories or three, and then maybe you might go a day or two without it. Just happened as it happened. But a good investigative story could take you weeks or maybe even a couple of months before it's ready to go. And I had some colleagues who that's all they did was investigative work, and they would take months. And I know one particular story took them 2 years to finish. So this is a kind of focus and concentration and intensity that takes a lot of time. And unfortunately, as you can see, newsrooms are not able to give the time and focus and concentration to this level of journalism. And when we're going to miss this, we're just going to be informed of things that are just getting by.
And another quick thing I also want to point out is in terms of international reporting, because, I mean, 20, 30 years back, almost all the major newslets had, you know, foreign correspondents stationed across Asia, Africa, Europe, and all that. But right now, we have only very handful of newspapers who's got foreign correspondents. And again, for the international reporting, it was only Reuters and the New York Times who got the Best Prizes Award. Again, the point is, you know, cost-cutting measures. You know, people don't want to pay foreign correspondents so many thousands of dollars to be stationed somewhere in Dubai or in Delhi or in Seoul, because they're thinking that, like, you know, we can get the news from AP or Reuters to get the work done for us. So this is really, you know, unfortunate that, you know, because of the cost-cutting initiatives by the organizations, people don't have enough of foreign correspondents, where they used to be like 80 or 100 correspondents. Right now, we can, like, only a handful of foreign correspondents are stationed across the world. So again, this is again a very grim reality of the future of foreign correspondents, whether it's just a dying breed or whether they can come back in full swing. We just have to wait and watch.
And before we wrap up today, I'm going to do a little self-promotion. It was announced today that Tri-States Public Radio received a regional Edward R. Murrow Award in the category Excellence in Sound for the audio postcard Jingle All the Way. That received the award for a four-state region that includes Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. That piece will now be considered for a National Murrow Award. That same story also won a first-place Illinois AP Award for use of sound. And our good friend and my former coworker Jason Parrott won a first-place Illinois AP Award for sports reporting for the audio postcard he did on the Radbry finish line in Keokuk last summer. So some excellent, outstanding news reporting also being done on the local level.
Great news, and that's great to hear, Rich. And I can congratulate you and the station and Jason for their work, and encourage people to continue to listen to support Tri-States Public Radio.
Thanks. And with that, we are going to wrap up the program for today. Our listeners can join us again next week here at tspr.org for more of Shop Talk.